Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Danielle, how do I join the fire? Click on the speaker and mute it.
Oh, come here. Come here.
Welcome to the L Transit. This week's train of thought, powered by Back to Us Radio and conducted by Gabrielle Claiborne and Daniel Coates, shares the experiences of two friends by providing insights into the transgender journey by advocating love, hope, healing, and awareness. The L Transit is now arriving at the station. Audible.com is a proud sponsor of this Back to Us Radio podcast. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/back2us. Again, audiblepodcast.com/back2us.
And the L Transit has pulled into the station. Welcome, everyone. This is Gabrielle Claiborne and my co-host.
And this is Danielle Coates.
We're so happy for you to join us tonight. We have a great show in store for everyone. And Danielle, what a whirlwind we have experienced the last 30 to 60 days. My goodness, I feel like we've been around the world, and a lot has been going on in our lives, and we have so much to share with our listeners tonight. I'm very excited. We have a special guest that we're going to be introducing shortly. How are you doing tonight, Danielle?
Oh, Mel, you are so right. We have had so much going on, and I am glad to report that I am doing quite well. I'm happy that we're back, and I am so looking forward to our show tonight because we have something to say for everyone.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
What a great topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. It is a universal topic that is applicable to humankind in general, but specifically and especially for our transgender, trans women community. And it's going to be something that I think and I know, Danielle, that it's very near and dear to our heart, and I know it's very near and dear to our guest. So Danielle, are you ready to get started?
I think we should. It's really funny, Gabrielle, because our whole community always has this little issue of whether people respect us or not. And that's sort of where we came up with the idea of where to go with this show. The question really is that we all need to be asking ourselves exactly what does love have to do with it?
Absolutely. What does love have to do with it? And I wanted to take this opportunity before we get into the nuts and bolts of our show to introduce our special guest that we have tonight. She is a very strong advocate for the transgender and nonconforming communities, and she's motivated by with a strong desire to ensure that our communities receive equality, justice, and human rights protection. Her motto, her personal motto, "Show up and participate for equality," attributed to her becoming the founder and executive director of the Juxtapose Center for Transformation, Inc. And this is an advocacy, consulting, and social services referral organization specifically to empower the largely diverse transgender community as a whole. She is a published author, and she's going to be sharing a little bit toward the end of our program about her book. The name of her book is Transitions, and this book explains up close, personal, perspective of the intricate, life-changing experiences that she's encountered in her journey. She is the recipient of a number of community awards. Just to name a few, the Transgender Revolutionary Award from the Women Healing Women, Inc. organization, the most prestigious and influential award from Phoenix Magazine Top 50 in 2012, the Best Transgender Activist Award from Georgia Voice 2012, and there's others. So we have a very accomplished trans woman in our midst tonight, Danielle. So without further ado, I would like for us all to give Tracy McDaniel a warm L Transit welcome. Tracy, welcome. Glad you're here with us.
Thank you, Gabrielle and Danielle. I really am humbled by your invitation to have a conversation with you all this evening. So I'm excited and looking forward to stimulating conversation.
Absolutely, and I will tell you, go ahead, Danielle.
Now, I was just going to say that we are certain that your input is going to help us show some real truth to our entire community, and we're so glad you could join us.
Thank you so much.
And I echo that. So let's get right to it, Danielle. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea, Gabrielle. I suppose I should bow out and let the tall one do the first talking. So I just have one question, girl. What's love got to do with it?
Well, I am so glad you asked, Danielle. And, you know, when we, you know, thank you, Tina Turner. Let me just give the accolades to Tina Turner, as we all should. Thank you, Tina Turner, for coining our topic for tonight. And, you know, when we think of love, we think of, you know, there's different kinds of love. There's love for one another. There's love for things that we aspire to, you know, we aspire to. We even, there's even love for a higher entity there, and there's also love for ourselves. And I have to tell you, Danielle, that as I have journeyed in my, as I've gone through my journey, I have come to know that the first and most important love for me as a trans woman, and anybody for that matter, is the first love. And that first love is how I love myself. You know, Danielle, what this means to me, in my life, in my journey, pre-transition, I was raised and taught that it was not, I was second. I had to sacrifice and I had to put others before me. And it wasn't so much what was important to me or what I found value in me that was priority. It was putting others before me and making sure that their needs were met, that they had everything that they needed to have from a needs perspective. And I became second. And what I learned and what I realized in that perspective was that I never really allowed myself to embrace who I was. And when I experienced that epiphany in my life and I allowed myself to focus on me first and understand that to be grounded and to be centered was important before I, in my own identity, was important before I could start reaching out to others. You know, I was living life upside down, if you will. And not until I came to that realization that I had to put myself first, I had to take care of me. And when I say put myself first and take care of me, it's not at the expense necessarily of those around me. It's just that I had to prioritize what was important for me in order that I could be the best I could be for those around me. Because anything short of that I was living my life for someone else and not for me. And we all know, being in the community, how people want us to live our lives for them. They want us to deny ourselves and not live for ourselves. Well, I will tell you that what I've learned is until I did that, I was not living to my fullest capabilities, if you will. Have I put others before myself? Sure I have. And I did that because I felt like that's what I needed for acceptance. That's what I needed for approval. That's what I needed to feel valued. That's what I needed to feel like that I was living my life the way I was supposed to live, successfully and confidently. Well, when I realized that was a fear of mine speaking and not my truth, I had to step back and reprioritize some things. And so I did that, and now living my life through my first love, meaning loving myself first, it's changed the landscape of my life tremendously. And Tracy, I'm sure that in your life that you have come to a similar realization that it's important for you to love yourself.
Absolutely, Gabriel. And I echo what you've said about living your life for other people. And what I've come to discover is that our society, when it comes to transgender and gender nonconforming people, they want us to act in a way that would make them comfortable. Most of our society isn't comfortable with the diverseness of transgender people. And personally, I decided a long time ago that I was going to live my life for me. I remember having a conversation with one of my family members, my cousin, and she and I were talking about our families and our mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts. And I specifically told her that, you know, our parents, our family members, they've lived their lives. They've done exactly what they wanted to do the way that they wanted to do it. So I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live it. And either they accepted or not. What I did want is for them to respect it. And when you spoke about the topic of our conversation, what's love got to do with it, I feel like, you know what, society or others, they don't have to love me, but they do have to respect me regardless of how we differ in our opinions and our feelings. So I agree totally that self-love is very important, because if you're not able to love yourself, then who else is going to love you? How can we expect to love and accept us if we're not willing to do it for ourselves?
Absolutely. And by loving yourself, Tracy, and demanding that respect, what have you found the response to be for those people around you, you know, the people that are in your close circle and then people that are not necessarily in that close circle? How have you found that response to be?
Well, for those that are in my close circle, my family members, my handful of friends, they respect my opinions and they respect me and they accept and love me as who I am. And for those who are not in my close circle, you know, some are offended. Some are offended by my boldness and my audacity to stand tall and let them know, you know, I may label myself as a transgender, gender nonconforming person. That's how I was born. But, you know, they have issues with us as transgender people walking in our truth and not being afraid to express ourselves, or letting them know, I don't agree with your opinion and you don't agree with mine, so let's just agree to disagree and keep it moving. But some people that are not in my close circle, they're offended by my audaciousness to be who I am and to proudly represent myself as I am.
Yeah, and there's all kind of, I guess, feedback that we get How do you handle that, Tracy? I mean, when people are offended by you standing your truth and saying, okay, it's me first, how do you handle that when you come across conflict?
Well, number one, I'm not going to argue with someone. I'm not going to argue with someone about who I am or how I was born or how I feel about, you know, my gender identity. I'm not going to sit there and have a debate with you about it. We can discuss it in an intelligent way. However, if I see that you're being disrespectful intentionally, I'm just not going to have the conversation with you. I'll just move on, you know. And
right.
So, I mean, and then for those from the religious sectors who are quick to say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible, that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I refer them to the Bible that they use to try to beat me down and to oppress me, and I let them know about Matthew, the 19th chapter, and Isaiah, the 26th chapter, where it speaks of the eunuchs. Those are just modern day. The eunuch is a term used in the biblical society, which is a modern-day term for transgender, gender non-conforming people. Those are biblical terms that transgender people can associate with currently in the modern day. So I just let them know, you know, God says there are some born eunuchs from their family, some are made eunuchs by men, and some choose to become eunuchs for the heaven's sake. So when they start throwing those verses, you're condemned to hell and God hates this and God hates that, I let them know, well, God hates adultery, God hates killers, God hates liars. I don't see anywhere in the Ten Commandments where there is anything about God hates transgender, gender nonconforming people, or gay people for that matter. So I don't mind standing up and defending myself when I feel threatened. I'm not going to be a coward, and I'm not just going to let anyone disrespect me just because they feel like I'm weak in any way.
And it sounds to me, Tracy, that through your experiences, the reason that you're able to stand in the face of such conflict or perceived conflict, which we all know it's fear, it's fear-based stuff, okay? It sounds to me, and I'm convinced that the reason that you've been able to do that is because you have found a sense of confidence in who you are. And Danielle, that is our next point of what's love got to do with it is that confidence factor that we all have to have in being ourselves, being true to ourselves, and living our life out loud, and not necessarily being concerned what others may think in their lack of understanding of who we are. So confidence, can you speak to the confidence of your journey and experience, Danielle?
Thank you for asking, Gabrielle, and yes, I can. Confidence was one of the greatest roadblocks I ran into when I started realizing what my life really was supposed to be rather than what everyone else thought it should be. For a long time, I didn't have confidence because as a youth, I was told how much more I could be doing. No matter how much I did, no matter how good I did, I would be told, you did that well, but, you can do more, you can do more. And I never felt like I was giving what I should give all the time, falling in that same old trap of I should be giving to others, I should be feeding others. That actually destroys a sense of confidence. And now since I finally grew old enough to say I don't really care, you may want me to do this, but that's not what my life is, I'm beginning to see myself more confidently every day that I'm able to go out into the world and say, this is me, this is who I am. You have to at least accept the fact that I am, whether you agree with me or not. And that has been the best medicine toward helping me to find myself as valued, not just to me, but as I've become more valuable to myself, I've found myself more valuable to everyone else. So it has made a complete circle. Instead of trying to be valuable for everyone else, I've learned to be valuable for me, and as a side effect, I've been valuable for them. I did once upon a time listen to what others said that I should be, that I should be more like this one. I was almost condemned for not following in my father's footsteps into his ministry, but that was not who I was. And the more people told me what I should do, the more my, internal power told me that I should be doing what I heard the voice in my soul tell me to do, that I should be me, not them. And I have finally, after, gosh, far too many years, learned to look at what does my soul tell me. And I use that soul to mean my very most inner self, not necessarily as church-type religion that people might think of soul as, but the soul being the true, most depth, in-depth part of me, that knows the world, that knows everything there is. My touch with the eternal tells me what I should be doing. I have learned to use that as a sort of a dashboard, if you will, of saying, how does what I'm doing stack up with where I know I should be? How does it meet the needs of the world for me to be who I am? And as I look at that, as I listen to that, as I open myself more and more to what I know to be, I am continuing to find that my confidence builds, and that as my confidence builds, and as I subjugate that desire to do for others because that's what I was told to do, when I learn to follow my heart, I am doing what people wanted me to do all along, but I'm doing it for me.
Amen.
And not for them.
Preach, sister.
Tracy, have you had experiences like that, or how has your confidence developed over the years?
Well, I honestly believe that my confidence comes from my personal relationship with my Creator. I don't have to go through a third person to communicate with my Creator, and I get the information that I'm seeking directly from the source and not from a third person, because they're going to always have their opinions and put their spin on whatever I question them about, because let's face it, in most cases, people are trying to control and manipulate you to do exactly what they want you to do, and to make you respond the way they want you to respond to certain circumstances. Also,
that's one point.
Also, my confidence comes from my family. Although when I was growing up in South Carolina, it was very difficult because my mother didn't know what transgender person was and what gender nonconforming was, and all she saw were the gay people and the feminine people that were being abused mentally and physically by society, and she didn't want that for me. So we had a lot of challenges as I grew up, and then as I moved out on my own, she saw that I was taking care of myself. I wasn't falling into the pitfalls of the prostitution and the drug abuse and the alcohol abuse and all that other crazy stuff. And she saw that I was being responsible and taking care of myself in a responsible manner. She became my biggest supporter. You know, she calls me her daughter. She introduces me as her daughter. When I go home and go to church with her, she introduces me to her church members as her daughter. And when my spouse comes, we go together. We stay at our family home. So my confidence comes from my family. And my thing is that, honey, as long as my mother loves me and accepts me 100% unconditionally, whatever else society or someone who isn't in my close circle says about me, it doesn't matter. You know, I have confidence that if I'm in need, or if I need to go home, or if I need my family support, they're there for me. So that's where my confidence comes from. It's not externally, it's internally, and my family members and the people that love me.
Go ahead, Gabriel.
Go ahead, Daniel.
I was going to chime in and say it is good to hear one of our community who has been accepted by their parents because she she stood up and became herself and lived the life she knew was hers, and that the family learned to appreciate that that's who she really is. That
absolutely
is wonderful, Tracy. I am
a
so happy
blessing
for you. I'm just thrilled for that.
So let me ask you both something. As you were growing and developing in your journey, how was paying attention to emotions, paying attention to feelings as a gauge of decision making in your life? What kind of emphasis was put on that in your journeys?
Great question. Well, for me personally, I've always been one to pay attention to my feelings. As far as relationships were concerned, if I was in an abusive relationship, I knew that it wasn't right. So I paid attention to my feelings, and I paid attention to my intuition. And I was able to rise above it and leave those unhealthy relationships. So I think that feelings and emotions play a great big part in us and our development as human beings and as adults. So I think it's very important.
Danielle, what about you?
Well, I have to kind of agree with where Tracy is coming from, that listening to yourself, standing up, is where we should be. But Tracy, do you have any kind of advice you can give to possibly some of our listeners who just aren't quite there, that they just really cannot feel enough confidence to stand up and tell the world, this is who I really am?
Well, I think that it's a challenge for some of our community members. I think it's challenging to first of all, love ourselves. I think that's very, very important for us to begin to love ourselves, because once we love ourselves unconditionally, we're not going to accept whatever abuse or whatever society has to offer that isn't healthy for us mentally and physically. So I would say if you're a religious person, develop your own communication, your own direct contact with your source. And also know that there's nothing wrong with you. You know, just because somebody is telling you who you are, there's something wrong with, that's not necessarily true. And so I think it's very important to, I go back to the self-love thing. Once you love yourself, then you're going to question and reevaluate what you allow others to, you know, to cause you to subscribe to that may not be beneficial.
And I thank you for that input. There's also one thing that I noticed that you were talking of earlier. One of the notes I'd made for myself when I was thinking about this topic, one of the statements you made, that you made it very easily, nonchalantly, and as though it has been internalized by you, was that you have realized that really if other people are trying to tell us how to be, that they're really doing it from their viewpoint of what they
absolutely
think is right for them, and
absolutely
we cannot live our lives for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, they want us to change who we are so that they're comfortable. You know, I mean, we're not here to make others comfortable. We're here to live our lives as productively and positively as we possibly can. So, you know, when there's someone that's trying to tell you, oh, you should do this and you know you shouldn't be doing that, then I would look at them side-eye and say, okay, agree with what they're saying in order to not get into an argument and go on and do my own thing, you know, because some people, they want to argue and they want, you know, they want to cause a spectacle and they want others to be a part of the conversation. And those people, I just don't even give them the energy that they're looking for.
And you have hit on what I think is probably one of the keys for all of us. Instead of sitting around worrying that the world doesn't give us the respect that they should give us because we think that they need to like us in order for us to have value, we need to understand that their life is their life is our life, and our responsibility is not to earn their respect. Our responsibility is to learn to respect ourselves and make our lives valuable from where we see it. And Tracy, you are one great example of that.
I appreciate that. Yes, we're not here to make others comfortable. We're here to make ourselves comfortable first and most of all, and then we go on from there. So,
right. Yeah. I would like to hear some more from you on that when we come back, Tracy. But right now we have to pay some bills, so we're going to take a little break and hear from our sponsors.
Perfect.
Audible.com is a proud sponsor of this Back to Us Radio podcast. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/back2us. Again, audiblepodcast.com/back2us.
So, Danielle, we're back.
Yes, I really love that song. It's so powerful. I'll grab it when the music's over. So I suppose that means we're back on the air. And
we are back, Danielle.
Tracy,
yes.
If you would, could you say a few more things that might help our audience and help our sisters and brothers out there who are having difficulty? Can you give a few examples of things that have helped you to know how to navigate by paying attention to your own internal dashboard?
Well, I can speak from personal experiences. I was born and raised in South Carolina. I was also raised Southern Baptist. So you can imagine hearing all of the condemnation to hell, all that other stuff, homosexuality, those Leviticus chapters. And what I did as I grew older into adulthood, I went on a spiritual quest, and I started really focusing on developing my personal relationship with my Creator without the influence of those who are less understanding or choose to be ignorant. And I just started doing personal stuff for me. And during the times when I wasn't comfortable with turning to the Bible for answers, I started meditating. I started listening to meditation recordings to guide me into getting in touch with my source. And I just stopped listening to the outside voices. And what I would like to say to the youth that are coming up is be very, very careful about the peers that you associate with and your influences, because sometimes people are stuck, and sometimes people they like to they don't mean it in most cases, and some they do, but they steer young trans people into the wrong direction. Oh, girl, you need some food. You need a place to stay. Go out there, honey, let's go out there on the street and make this quick money and you have some money. Or, girl, you need to pick me up. Here's some drugs that you can try. So I would suggest to the youth specifically, just be careful about your influences and your peer groups, because there's more than what we've been told that we're capable of doing and accomplishing. We don't have to be prostitutes on the streets. We don't have to be uneducated, and we don't have to be drug abusers in and out of the prison system.
I agree, Tracy.
That's great advice. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Danielle, we've talked about first love. We've talked about after we have that first love and loving ourselves first, then how that builds our confidence. So,
That's all been kind of internal related to ourselves. why don't you, if you will, give us some thoughts on loving others?
You want me to give some thoughts
yes,
on
ma'am.
Loving others? Or are you, do
yes,
you want
ma'am.
To give some
like
thoughts on loving others? Why don't you give us some thoughts on loving others? I like your thoughts.
All right.
Me too.
I guess you turned that one on me, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I have found in my life that I have had this desire to be loved all my life. I wanted to be loved. I kept thinking, what can I do to earn the love? And I've been told all my life that, you know, it's okay to think that you're a good person, but never start thinking that you're so good that you should be more important than anyone else. Always look out there on how to do for someone else, how to give, so that you can get more love. And that was one of the most confusing things.
Sure. Let me ask you something, Danielle. So you've loved yourself, you've established this confidence, okay? And you're wanting to now reach out and love those around you, right? And you want those around you to reciprocate that, right? But because of what you've navigated through in your journey, there are things that you know that just from experience that people are going to come up to you and they're going to start demanding this from you, demanding that from you. And not all these things that are going to be demands on you are going to be healthy for you. So what do you do like that?
I think that really does fall back on what we have been talking about, our self-confidence, our truly loving ourselves, to know that we have to take care of our own selves. I really keep coming back to something that the airlines always say, and that is, in the event of an emotion or of a damage, in the event of a crisis, the oxygen masks will fall. Grab one and put it on yourself first, and then help those around you. And I interpret that in reality to take care of your own self, take care of your own soul, take care of your own heart, take care of your own knowledge of what needs to be done, and then you can do for others. And when people ask me to do things, or when I feel that people are wanting me to do things that violate that, I know that I have to stop, look, and listen. Stop what I'm doing. Look at the situation. Listen to what my heart tells me, and then say, is this a line I should cross for the better of all of us, or is it more just for them?
So essentially what you're telling me, Danielle, is that you're establishing boundaries, okay, for you, right?
That is correct, yes.
Go ahead.
I have to know what the area is in which I feel appropriate to operate my life. And I have to know whether or not there are things that maybe just across that boundary that look really, really, really good that may destroy my ability to do better. Or maybe there's something just beyond that boundary that I had never thought of that does fit into my universal view of what I am, and I should move the boundaries a little bit. But it always comes back to what is right from my viewpoint, what is correct, what is the best from where I'm standing, not what is the best from what someone else wants, because we all know that everyone does operate from the standpoint of, I want this to happen because it's beneficial to me. That's almost a universal rule.
So let me play a little devil advocate here, Danielle. Let's just say someone crosses a boundary that you establish, okay? And it is, let's just say they're playing an old tape that you recognize as an old tape, and you know where that old tape carries you, right?
That is correct.
What do you, What do you do? What do you do when someone crosses your boundary that you've established, clearly established with them, and it's for, here, it's for your health, and what they may not realize at the time is for their health too, right? It's for the health of the relationship, if you will. When they cross that boundary and you recognize that old tape that they're playing that carries you back to a place that you're not necessarily wanting to go back to, how do you handle that?
Well, there are several ways it can be handled. The first one is, of course, you can sit around and mumble and complain, I know I told them that they just can't go there, and it really upsets me that they're there, but what does that accomplish? That doesn't accomplish anything except cause yourself to be more uptight. What I found is best thing to do is to acknowledge that this is a place I cannot go, and here's why I can't go there. I apparently did not make that clear enough when we were discussing this boundary initially, but I want you to know that I care and that I would like to do for you as much as I can within my own feelings of what's right and wrong, but I just can't go there, and I hope that you have enough love and respect for me that you will not ask me to continually ask me to go there.
Okay.
So it was a lot of what Tracy was saying earlier about gaining that respect from your peers, your family, your extended family, your new family, whoever that is, right? Gaining that respect by just saying, look, for the benefit and for the well-being of both of us, can we agree that this is just something we don't go to, right? And
that,
build
that,
on something else that's more beneficial for the relationship. Tracy, what do you think about that?
I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. I know for my daily meditation and prayers, I always ask for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because there's something that we can learn every single day about ourselves, and there's something that I'm learning about myself. And when I learn it, I'd like to really understand it, and I'd like to have the wisdom to understand how it affects me and how may I use it to my advantage. You mentioned earlier about crossing boundaries in relationships. I know for me personally, growing up being a teenager, you know, we're young and inexperienced, so I've experienced a couple of abusive relationships because I didn't know any better. I figured, well, this is how relationships are, and this person loves me, and if they didn't care, they wouldn't respond or act the way that they're acting. And I learned, and I'm grateful that I learned very early on, that those are inappropriate ways of showing love and affection and caring about a person. You know, when you have a black eye or you have a busted lip and you're bleeding and you have bruises all over your body, I learned that that wasn't love, and those were my experiences as a teenager growing up in relationships. And then I'm happy that I had those relationships because if I hadn't had those relationships during that time earlier on, I wouldn't know what I would tolerate in a future relationship. So the relationship that I'm in now, you also mentioned earlier about having a conversation with the person, letting them know your boundaries. So I had a conversation with my spouse now when we first started dating about what I would and would not tolerate. And on the top of my list was mental and abusive, mental and abusiveness coming from the person who claims to love me and that I'm sleeping with. And so we had that conversation,
right.
And I'm fortunate that they heard me, that he heard exactly what I was saying, and he knew that I was serious about what I was saying to him, because we've been together almost 2 decades now. We just recently celebrated our 18th year together, and we haven't had those issues. So I'm fortunate that we were able to come to an understanding earlier on so we didn't have to go through that process, because that was something that I was not going to tolerate. I was going to, my plan was to leave, because I don't need to deal with being abused by someone who claims they love me. And what I also learned is that people will test you. You let people know what your boundaries are, they're going to test you to see if you're serious about them. And if you let them get away with it, they're going to continue to do the same thing over and over again. So I've learned that you have to watch people and pay close attention to them. And if they cross the line, you back them up, let them know that it's unacceptable, and be willing to do what you say you're going to do. Because if you keep making these idle threats, then they're going to say, oh, they're just threatening. They're not. They don't mean what they say. But you have to say what you mean and mean what you say.
So it sounds like you're saying that this thing that we've all know, always known that children do to their parents never really goes away, because people still try to push to see how far they can get things to go the way they want it to.
Of course, that's only human nature. It's only human nature to test you. Well, once you let people know what you will and will not accept, it's human nature for them to challenge and test you and see how far you would go. And if you don't back up what you're saying with action, then they're going to continue to do the same thing.
Well, Gabrielle,
so let me ask.
I am going to turn it back to you now. And
I'm going to ask another question, Danielle. I have one more question for you and Trace, if you don't mind. You're not yielding. You're just like, we're going with the flow here. Hey, we've talked about loving others and healthy boundaries and recognizing old tapes as red flags. So we're in a relationship, or we're looking to establish a relationship, not necessarily a romantic relationship. It could be a friendship, whatever level of relationship, if you will. What are we looking for in other people? What, you know, we've loved ourselves. We're loving ourselves. We're confident in who we are. What are we looking for in other people when we're trying to engage in that relationship with them? Either one of y'all can take the question.
That's a good question. You would like to go first, Gabrielle?
Danielle?
Well, since Gabrielle asked the question, I'll go. We are usually looking for something different in whatever in each different relationship that we are involved in. And like you, I say any time that two people relate, that is a relationship. And each relationship has its own unique flavor. In some, we could be looking for someone who shares our values so deeply that we can almost feel a deep personal soul kinship with. We could be looking for someone who is a good sounding block, who doesn't necessarily see and hear things the way we are, but that we can value enough to want to hear what they have to say to kind of keep ourselves headed down the direction we want. We could be looking for people who would reinforce our own views of life. But does that really speak well to the confidence issue we have been talking about? I think in a healthy relationship consists of two people who value one another and value each other's opinions and knows that they are adding to the other person's life just as much as the other person is adding to their life. To me, that is a healthy relationship.
Amen.
Tracy, Tracy.
I definitely agree. Personally, I believe that all relationships are purposefully sent to us to teach us about ourselves. I know for me personally, I've learned that there were times when I was impatient. I've been impatient. I've been unforgiving. You cross me, I'm not going to let you forget it. And so I've learned to be patient. I've learned to be more forgiving. And I've learned that people make mistakes. And if they're honest mistakes and you don't continue to do the same thing over and over again, those are forgivable. You know, we can communicate and work it out. And I've also learned to compromise because, you know, in any relationship, whether it's intimate relationships or just family or friends, there has to be compromise. You know, it can't always be one-sided. You know, you both agree on certain terms, and then you both work towards accomplishing those terms or whatever you desire. So I think it's very important that we understand that relationships are there to teach us about ourselves in many ways.
I agree.
It's nice to me, like you may have heard of, or else you may be kin to, Marianne Williamson. She's some of those
yes.
points you made. She made in the books as we've been studying.
Well, Marianne Williams is one of the persons that I studied on my spiritual quest. So I have her meditation tapes, and I listen to her, and I read her books. So she's a great, great author.
Couldn't agree more. You've come across that the truth that when you're in a healthy relationship, it's not like you're in that relationship necessarily to complete that person, because
No. You
have gone through the completion practice of loving yourself, gaining your confidence in yourself, and you come to the table complete.
Absolutely.
And because you're complete, you're attracting others that are complete. So that relationship, once it comes together, is a relationship that is a complete relationship. That doesn't mean that it's perfect, but
No. That
you're both coming from that perspective that you first loved yourself and that you have the confidence in who you are. And because of all that, because of the first works, if you will, then that relationship is built on that foundation of, you know, I'm here whole, you're here whole, together we're even more whole, right?
Yes, two whole people, not two half people, broken people, with two whole people coming together to create one. So, you know, that's something, that's a blessing when you can have the opportunity to experience that.
Absolutely.
And the beautiful thing of it is I have learned that when two complete people join forces and enter into any kind of relationship, it's not like building a relationship. It's like being there and experiencing the relationship grow.
Oh, yes.
In its fullness, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it doesn't get full. When it gets full, it seems to somehow gain more capacity to grow even more. And that is the beauty of life. Gabrielle,
yes.
We are running out of time, my dear, and we've covered.
So, do we need to put the pieces of the puzzle together, Danielle?
I think that's a good idea. How about giving a shot at that, if you will?
Okay, so you know, here we've talked about first love, we've talked confidence, we've talked about loving others, and so what is the true intention of living out love every day in our life? You know, do we live by interpreting everything that comes through our senses gates, our eyes, our ears, our intuition? Do we filter things in that way and then live accordingly, or do we live inside out? And inside out being that we love ourselves. We come to terms with who we are. We put ourselves first, get ourselves whole. And as a result of that wholeness and that completeness, then we gain that confidence. And once we have that confidence, we can love others as we were intended to love from the beginning. Truth is, and I want to revisit just right quickly a topic or just a comment that was made earlier in the call, and that is, until we go through those first steps, if you will, of order of priority, we're really doing the person in the relationship, whatever the relationship is, an injustice, because they're not getting all of us. They're getting a fabricated us. They're getting us that's not true to ourselves, and as a result, not being true to ourselves, not complete. And because we're not complete, we're not able to give this person what we were intended to give them. And so living inside out is processing things starting inside and letting our inside essence, our inside identity, our inside understanding and knowledge through your greater source, through yourself, come out and allow that to be the common ground and the foundation for how we live our life. So living inside out is, I have found in my own personal journey, a empowering concept that you know, I was raised as a kid, and I was raised in the church, and, you know, they were saying all these things about who's inside you and all that kind of stuff. And it's true. It's what's inside you that comes out is what is the energy that you give off. So living inside out is just, it kind of, it puts all the pieces together, and the pieces become very fluid. You know, you always have to revisit a first love, a confidence in loving others. You're always going back and forth, but until when you understand these and understand these in the correct order, that's when you feel like when you're wanting to do something in life, when you're pursuing a goal, when you're searching your purpose, looking for your purpose, you're not having to flap your wings to try to find that purpose. You just extend your wings, and the wind comes beneath the wing, and you just soar. And you soar over all the things that people say, think, the ridicule, the rejection, the alienation, all those things that we as a culture experience. It becomes irrelevant at that point in time.
Speak, sister.
So that's living inside out.
Yes.
Amen, sister. I think you have definitely said it, Tracy.
We would go ahead.
I think we may be going to the same place, girl. Tracy, you have some words that you can share with us, and you have some information you can share with us. I'm certain about how to learn a little more about Tracy and Tracy's journey. And I think you may know a little something about memoirs.
Yes.
Take a little chance to tell us about that.
Well, first, before we conclude, I want to thank you both, Danielle and Gabrielle, for such a wonderful conversation and inviting me to participate. It's been very humbling for me. In reference to my memoir, I have an event coming up this coming Saturday from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. It will be at the Taverna Plaka. It's a Greek restaurant located on Cheshire Bridge Road. The address is 2196 Cheshire Bridge Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30324. And the phone number there is 404-636-2284. And the event will be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. What I'm going to be doing is reading from a chapter of my book, Transitions, Memoirs of a Transsexual Woman, and I'll be fielding questions and just signing copies of my book. And if you're available on Saturday, I'd love for you to come out and enjoy some wonderful conversation and some delicious food.
Tracy, tell us where we can find your book.
You can find my book. You can either connect with me on Facebook, and I will make sure that I get you a signed copy, or you may go to Amazon.com and look up Tracy McDaniel, Transitions, Memoirs of a Transsexual Woman. And it's also available on Kindle.
Great. And I know that a lot of our listeners are probably tapped into Kindle. I know I just recently got tapped in, and it is a wonderful tool, and I encourage everyone to look into this book, because Tracy has a lot of good things to say, and it's well worth the read. So, Tracy, thank you for being our guest tonight.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, and I really appreciate both of you, and I look forward to seeing you both soon.
Absolutely. And Danielle, in closing, when are we back on the air next?
We are on the air the first Thursday night in the month of September 2014. I do not have the date right here in front of me.
I think it's September 4th. September
4th. And we invite everyone to come back and join us on that date, the 4th of September, first Thursday, at 9 o'clock, and we will have another important and thoughtful and soul-felt episode to share with everyone that we hope will mean as much to you as it means to us.
And to all our listeners, please stay tuned to our Facebook page for the updates, the latest and greatest information. And as usual, Danielle, we're always willing and available to hear comments on our show and our discussions, correct?
That is correct. That's what the Facebook page is there for. Join us.
So until then, goodbye from the L Transit.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, everyone.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.